Well, good morning, Vintage. How are we doing? Who's ready to be, who's excited to be church? If you guys know me, I love it when people interact with me, so we don't come to church just to sit here and listen to a speaker. We come to church to engage. So who's ready and excited to be in church? Woo! All righty. Some of you all, like, as you walked in, you're like, am I at church? You know, you saw a little science fair out in the hallways, and you were surprised by that. So were we. So, we have an awesome, awesome opportunity to meet here every single week in Blazer. So we understand that Blazer has events and science fairs throughout the week that they have too. So we're so thankful that they allow us to be a part of Blazer. And so on the way out, just make sure you stop by all the booths and vote on the best one, so that way they know that we participated in the science fair. All right, can we do that? All right, so hey, if you guys don't know me, my name's Frank. I have the honor to be the associate pastor here, and I'm so, so thankful that you guys are here. We are in this series called Is Times. Can everyone say, It's Time? It's Time. Yes, we're in this series called It's Time. And what we wanted to do is that we want to take the beginning of the year, okay? It's a simple thought of, we know what we ought to do, right? We know what we should do, but the question is, do we do it? Do we actually follow through? And so this series is supposed to take us, okay, we're at the beginning of the year. We're excited for what God's going to do. We're excited. We have all these goals and expectation of our lives and what we want to do, but are we actually meeting them? And so this series is to give you guys a little bit of an encouragement. It's to give you guys a little bit of a push, so to speak, and say, hey, the goals and the resolutions or whatever you guys have in our lives, let me encourage you to do that, and let me encourage you to accomplish that. And if you guys were here in week one, and if you weren't, you can go back to our podcast online or on Spotify, Apple, anywhere that you can find podcast and look it up. But in week one, Pastor Zeus talked about this simple idea of being at a stoplight, right? You're at a stoplight, and there's a person in front of you, there's a car in front of you, and then the light turned green. And they haven't gone yet, right? So what do you tend to do? You know, if I'm behind them, I give them a little, beep, beep, give them a little horn to kind of encourage them to keep moving, right? If you're like Pastor Jesus, you won't do a little beep beep. You'll do a honk. Maybe roll down the window and say some words. And that happened in real life, but he can tell you that story later. That this is supposed to be an encouragement, right? Just say, hey, let's go. It's time. It is time to do everything that God wants you to do. It's time to let these dreams and these hopes and these expectations that we have, and let's do it. It is time to do that. So that's why we're doing this. In fact, Stephen said this, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're to keep getting what we're getting. Right? That makes sense. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same result. And so what if we change the result? What if we change how we did what we did? Would it change the result? And that's what we are going to be talking about today. You see, our hopes and our expectations are high. You see, I think all of us, we don't go into 2020 thinking, man, I just hope this year sucks, right? No, we have high expectation and high hopes, right? Would you all agree with me? We want 2020 to be the best year ever. We want 2020 to be the things where God does so much in our finances and our lives and our jobs, whatever. However, when our hopes and our expectations are here, our habits tend to be down here. And that can't happen. We can't have hopes and expectations when our habits and our disciplines are this low. And so this series is meant to say, hey, beep, beep, it's time. Let's level these habits and let's build a set of disciplines in our lives to where these hopes aren't just hopes, but they actually flesh out in real life. And that is what this series is about. And what I want to make a case today that your best life is closer than you think. Your best life is closer than you think. And some of us, as soon as I said that, you're like, yeah, that's not me. Not this year, not right now. That's just not where I'm at. It's just lots happening. And I want to make the case today. If you just will lean in today, if you would just listen and be open to what God has for you this morning, I want to make the case that your best life is closer than you think. In fact, it says this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the main verse that we've been following this entire series. Repent, what does this mean? It's that you're going this direction. You're going one way, and you need to be going the other direction. You need to be, your habits are going this direction. You need to change habits, and you need to go toward the other direction for the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know, if you are the king of your life, you're going to find out, I'm sorry, if you are the king or queen of your life, right? You're not a very good king or queen of your life, right? And this is the case that God, the kingdom of heaven, and heaven is often translated to God, kingdom of God. And guess what? It is at hand. You have access to God. You have access to the kingdom of heaven. And that's the case that I want to make today, that if we can just access the kingdom of heaven, your best life is closer than you think right now. Your best life and your hopes and your dreams and what you want 2020 to be all about, and not even 2020, but beyond, and the things that are inside of your heart is closer. But some of us, we haven't attempted to access the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to encourage you. I want to give you guys a little bit of beep, beep, so to speak, to access the kingdom of God. So if you have your notes today with you, we're gonna title today's message, It's God Time. Stay with me. It's God time. What do I mean by this? And I'm a pastor. Of course, you're going to say it's always God time, right? What do I mean by this? What I mean by this is that I think we need to let God in every single area of our lives. We need to allow God in every single area of our lives. So we allow God to be a part of our lives more than it is right now. And not just part of our lives, but in every single aspect of our lives. You see, some of us, we think, okay, we have enough God in us, right? Key word, we have enough God in us. You're like, I'm here in church. I made it. Praise God, right? And it's good. Life is good. And as soon as you walk out of this place, your life looks a little bit different, right? And I want to make the case today is that it's not just about having enough of God. Not just having enough of God. Because some of you think it meant, if you ask me today if I died, right here, right now, will I make it to heaven? I have no doubt in my mind that I'll make it to heaven. But the question to further along this process is, has God had the right to all the area of your life? Think about that. Have you given God your life? Every single area of your life. And what I want to talk about today is that if you would just allow God to enter in some places in our heart that we intentionally don't let him, because we think we're better at it, because we think we can control it, we think we can handle it, we think we're the king or the queen of our lives, right? And we think we can do all these things. I want to make the case today that if we just allow a little bit of more God time in us, if we just allow a little bit of more where we can access the kingdom of God, your best life is closer than you think. And the thing is, until he has had every single area of our lives, he can't do his best work in us. A lot of us think we can just do just enough. We'll just get by. And I want to argue today and make the case that you can't just get by. You can't just get by. God wants every single area of your life because he loves you and he cares for you and he has the best for you. And some of us, I get it. You're saying this from a pastor and I don't understand this. And I'm going to talk about that today. I want to give you specific areas in our life that where we can do that, where we can allow God to be a part of that. C.S. Lewis says this, that the human history is a long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God, which will make him happy. Something other than God. See, we fill our lives with so much. We fill our lives with so much, and we try to feel things that make us happy, right? And that's exactly what C.S. Lewis said, the other than God. See, God is in our lives, and we certainly want him when it comes to the whole heaven and hell thing, right? You're like, I don't want to burn. I'm good. Are we good, God, right? And you're like, I'm good in that. But there's certain areas where I'm like, you can't have that quite yet. It's just not yet, right? And I want to push you. I want to challenge you today. I want to give you a little bit of beep, beep. Say, it's time. It's time to let God do what only he can do. And I get it. It's hard. It's hard. And it's scary. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. And I love how this says this in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And since this is in the Message paraphrase, it's kind of long, the Message paraphrase. It's a great translation. If you don't understand the other translation, pull up the Message translation. You know, it'll kind of give you a longer version that you can help you understand. And it says this: but make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of your day-by-day obligation that you lose track of time and doze off. You become oblivious to God. You're so busy with life. You're so busy with work. You're so busy with family. You're so busy with everything that's going on that you're oblivious to God. You didn't mean it. You didn't mean for that to happen, but you become oblivious to God. It continues on and it says this in the next verse. The night is about over. This is God saying, beep, beep. Hey, the night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. Be up and awake to what God is doing. Are you awake to what God is doing? Do you know what God is doing in your life right now? Do you know what God is doing in your family? Do you know what God is doing in your workplace? Do you know what God is doing in Vintage Church? Are you actively looking for ways where God is doing something? And if you're not, he's saying, hey, it's time. Be awake to what he's doing. God is putting on the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first started. You see, when we first get into a relationship with God, we enter a relationship with God and your sins are paid for. Your sins are paid for. You have access to God and your relationship is taken care of. And that is the beauty of what Jesus did for us. But you're not done. The mission that still needs to be had. And God wants you to be a part of that. So he is not done. He is not finished. It continues on in the next verse. It says this. It says, we can't afford to waste a minute, we must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity or indulgence. Probably said that wrong. Don't worry about it. In sleeping around or dissipation or bickering, grabbing everything in sight. We can't worry about the day-to-day and the life and everything that happens. And I love what it says this in the last verse right here. It says, get out of bed and get to rest. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ. Be up and about. Hello? Beep, beep. It's time. Some of us are just going through life, and we're just struggling to make it to the next day. And we're just struggling to make it to the next bill, right? We're just struggling to, I don't know what it is, but God's saying, hey, it's time. If you would just let me in and do what only I can do, your best life is closer than you think. And I'm gonna keep saying that because I truly believe that with all my heart. That if we just allow God in a little bit and we say, okay, God, it's time, your best life is closer than you think. It's God time. Look to your neighbor and say, it's God time. It's God time. That's the case I want to make today. So I'm going to approach this message a little bit differently than I normally would. Before I moved here, my wife and I, we lived in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour north of Chicago, and don't miss the snow at all. But we loved the church that we were a part of, and we were part of a church, and we graduated a college discipleship program. And it was an intense discipleship program where for 10 months, it was just, you got rid of all the distractions and you just focused on your relationship with God. We weren't allowed to date. We weren't allowed to listen to secular music. We weren't allowed to, with a lot of things we weren't allowed to do. And not that any of it was bad, but it was just to say, hey, for the next 10 months, we're going to focus solely on our relationship with God. And I ended up being on staff there for 5 to 6 years. And one of the things that I loved about that program and I loved about the life change and the discipleship that happened was that the discipleship was real. And it was real and it was raw because there was no filter. And what I mean by that is that the students that would come in legitimately pay to say, hey, I want to grow and I want to be the best version of myself. And I want to have a great relationship with God. I want to know who I am and how God has wired me. So challenge me. I'm challenged me. I'm paying tuition to do this, right? And I kind of like that because I get to challenge them, right? I get to, you know, they have 24/7 access to, if they need, you know, wisdom and have guidance or whatever. So we sit down at a coffee shop and we'll talk to them or whatever. And the reason why it was so effective and the reason why the discipleship was so effective because I could be real. I could just be real, right? I know why they're here, and they know why I'm here. So you want to grow, and you want to grow in your relationship with God, I'm going to tell you, like, how it is, right? And that was fun sometimes, right? Because I could just go up to them and be like, hey, what are you doing? Knock it off. You're being dumb right now, right? Like, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be, you know, talking to her or whatever it is, right? And I would encourage them. I would encourage them and then give them wisdom or whatever it is, to give them spiritual guidance and counsel. And it was so, so beneficial because the filter was off. I didn't have to say, hey, you probably, no. I just straight up told them, right? And they grew from that. We prayed and all that. I don't preach like that. I don't preach with the filter off. You know why? Because you wouldn't come back. You wouldn't come back. You'd probably be upset at some things I had to say, right? Because you'd be like, oh, I'm here to hear God's word, and I'm here to you know, get what I need to, but only what I want to, right? I'm going to approach this message a little bit differently. I'm not gonna tell you, you know, what I think you should do. I'm not going to tell you what I think, you know, as if you were a Focus One student in the program that I was in, and if we were sitting down and you're a college-age student and we're sitting here and having this conversation. I'm not going to approach it that way. I'm just going to show you it. If I would approach it like that way, how we would have this message, okay? So don't get upset, don't get angry. I'm just showing you what it would be like if you were a Focus One student and you were in college. And some of you are like, great, I'm in college right now. Other of you are like, oh, I gotta go back a little bit, but I'll do that, right? And it's funny, I think about this all the time where there's, you know, guest speakers and guest pastors that will come into a church. And I often think sometimes where a guest speaker will come in and the lead pastor, the head pastor would be like, hey man, like, if you can just talk about this, and like, I can't talk about this because if I talk about it, they'll get mad at me and then they won't listen to my message anymore or whatever. So if you can just get up there, preach a good word on this, and then get out of here so that way, you know, you don't have to deal with the after effects. You know, sometimes I feel like that's what Jesus is doing to me, so it's working. It's working. I'm just kidding. He doesn't do that. I'm just kidding. So I want to give us some areas where we can focus our time, where we can allow the more God time. I'm going to give you four different areas that I want to talk about. I'm going to give you four out of the 20 that I thought of, but we don't have that much time, so we're just going to give four, okay? And maybe one of these will speak to you, maybe all of these will speak to you, but stick with me. So the first one is this. It's time to take control of your schedule. It's time to take control of your schedule. Some of us are so overwhelmed with life. We're so stressed out, and we're so overwhelmed that we don't know what to do, and we don't feel like we accomplish what we want to, and we're like, how can I move forward? And for some of us, if we were sitting down in a coffee shop, I would tell you this. I would say, hey, let's look at your schedule. Let's look at your schedule and see what your schedule looks like. How are you prioritizing it? Some of us, our life is out of balance. We try to do too much with little energy. We try to overwhelm ourselves. And I love this, what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. It says, better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toils and chasing after the wind. It's better to have one hand full and have some peace in our lives than to have two hands and be stressed out and feel like we're chasing after the wind. And some of us, we don't like to hear that. You know why? Because we have two hands. And so we think we have the capacity to do more, so we grab it, right? And can I tell you something? You cannot have your best life if you are chasing after the wind. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying your capacity is not that big? No, not what I'm saying at all. All I'm saying is that we need to relook at our schedule. And some of us, maybe we walked into 2020 thinking, okay, I'm going to prioritize my schedule more. Like, I'm going to stick to my schedule. I'm going to put it on my iCal or Google Cal, whatever it's called over there, or paper and pen or whatever it is. I'm going to stick to it. And I would challenge you not to only to prioritize your schedule, but I would ask you to schedule your priorities. Because if I look at your schedule, I can tell you what your priorities are. And for some of us, we don't schedule our priorities because we're trying to prioritize the schedule and life will come to us. life will happen, and it will fill up every single time, no matter what you do, right? And so what if we allowed God to enter in our schedule? What if we allow some God time to enter into our schedule? Would our best life be closer than we thought? So the case I want to make today is that I think God needs to have a part of your schedule, that he needs to have some priority in your schedule. And I would even argue the case that he needs to have the first priority of your schedule. It's like this. The easy way we can do this is the first 15. I call it the first 15. Before you check the news, before you check social media, before you get up and get ready, or whatever it is, before you do anything other than get a cup of coffee, because God knows if you don't have your coffee, we're going to have some problems, right? Before you do anything, spend the first 15 minutes with God. 5 minutes reading the Word, read a chapter or two in the Psalms or in Proverbs. 5 minutes in worship, just put on one song. And watch how your attitude would change. And watch how when you hear the words, the lyrics that God is speaking to you and that you're speaking to him, watch how the rest of the day will shift because of that. And 5 minutes in prayer. Thanksgiving, request. Thanksgiving, request. And I'm telling you, if you just allow God to have the first priority of your schedule, I'm pulling back the filter. I'm pulling back. I know everyone say this because some of y'all think, don't tell me how my schedule needs to go, right? But what if we allowed God to have a part of that? Would our best life be closer than we thought? The second thing I think we need to do is that it's time to rethink what I allow to enter my mind and body. Some of us have no filter of what we allow in ourselves. Some of us have no filter in what we listen to, what we watch. Some of us just allow life to come in us and we just think whatever happens. And it's time to regulate that. The movies we watch, the links you click on, how much you drink. I'm pulling back the filter here a little bit. And every single one of us, we are in all different walks with God. And here at Vintage Church, we exist, this is our mission statement, we exist to love everyone towards a growing relationship with Christ. And to grow, you have to take some steps. And so I was very hesitant to talk about this point right here. Because I know what I could be communicating and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, you can't be doing this. And that's the furthest thing that I want to do. That's the furthest thing that I want to, the truth that I want to speak today. Is that if we just wrestle with God of what we allow in ourselves, because here's the thing, what you allow in you will eventually come out. It'll eventually come out. It'll eventually come out in your workplace, in your family, in your finances. I don't know what it is, but it eventually will come out. And we are all different walks of life. So hear me on that. I'm not saying we all need to be on this line. And we all can't do this, we can't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just asking you to wrestle with God. Ask God, what would it look like for me? What does it look like for me? Where do you want me in this area? And we are all in different places. I love this. It's the perfect example. The Pastor Chris Hodges, he is out in Alabama. He has a church called Church of the Highlands. Great church, awesome pastor. And he was telling a story one time where he was going through the 21 days of prayer, which we are going through at the church too as well. And they were going through 21 days of prayer, and this churchgoer goes up to him and says, "Hey, Pastor Chris, I'm new here. I'm so excited, and I'm so thankful for what Church of the Highlands has done for me. And so I'm jumping in. I'm jumping in on the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I just want God to do something in my life. And so I'm excited, right?" And Pastor Chris looked at him. "That's awesome, man. I'm so glad that you are jumping in and allowing God to do something in your life, right?" And he looked at him and said, "Pastor Chris, you want to know what I'm fasting? And Pastor Chris is like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "I'm fasting marijuana." And Pastor Chris kind of was like, "Awesome. That's great." And the reason why I bring that up is because that was a step in his walk. That was the step in his walk where he said, that's the next step that I can take. And for some of us, you're thinking, that's barely a step. That's a step in him. So I want to challenge you. What is that step for you? What is that step for you? And some of you, you're thinking, I'm fine. What I allow to enter my body and my mind, I'm good. I can handle it, right? Like, it's legal. It's okay now, right? And the case that I would make today is it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It says, I have the right to do anything you say. Absolutely. Absolutely. But not everything is beneficial. Pulling back the filter. We don't want to hear that. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. So for some of us, we need to regulate what we allow in us. For some of us, we need to regulate how much we drink. And some of us, we are all different places where we don't drink at all, where we drink too much. Wherever you are at, I'm just asking you to wrestle with God. Maybe it's a number. After one, I'm done. For some of us, maybe we just need to get an accountability partner. Because here's the thing, the pornography, the drunkenness, the drugs, all that, it's there. It's there. If we're going to be real here, it's there. Just because we're in church, we're not going to try to hide. No. It's there. And so maybe for some of us, it's time to get an accountability partner. We say, I need to regulate what I allow. And so if you just would wrestle with God and say, okay, I have the right to do this, sure, but God, what is beneficial for me right now? What is beneficial for me in my life right now? And this isn't just the bad thing. This is the good thing. Some of us, we need to quit Netflix. We watch too much Netflix, and we wonder why our mind keeps going to the wrong places because we don't give ourselves time to get into the Word of God. And you wonder why your life is all stressed out and all that because all you do is watch Netflix. Netflix is good. It's not bad. I watch Netflix all the time, probably a little too much, but, you know, I'm going to regulate that. And what are the good things in your life that are taken away from what God has for you? You know, for me, sometimes I think about this, is that I need to quit eating the whole roll of Oreos in one sitting, right, and start going to the gym. I need to regulate that because... So don't act like I'm the only one that does that. I know a lot of us do that, right? It's so easy to do that. Two of those things are only like 200 calories. So you just ate your entire worth of calories in that day if you ate one row. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. Anyway, it's time to regulate what we allow to enter in us. And like I said, I hope you hear my heart on that. I'm pulling back the filter and I'm being real here because I want to challenge us. I want us to grow in our relationship with God. I am not telling you you can't or can't do certain things. I'm not. I'm just asking you to wrestle with God. Say, in my walk with where I'm at right now, what is beneficial for me? What is beneficial for me? And take that step. Third thing is this. It's time to organize your finances around give, save, and live. It's time to, I could have put a period right after finances. For some of us, that's good enough, right? It's time to organize your finances this year. But it's God time. It's God time. So it's time to allow God to enter into our finances. And he tells us to in this order, to give, save, and live. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor with God with everything you own. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Give him what? The first and the best. So I'm going to pull the filter here a little bit. I'm not asking for you to honor God with just your tithes and your offering. I'm asking you to honor God with everything you have. Everything that you have. God, you get the first and the best. You're doing that today. You're here Sunday morning, the first day of the week, saying, all right, God, I honor you. I want the best. I'm going to prioritize and I'm going to give you my time to take the first of the week and I'm going to allow this to really, you know, digest what I'm going through and learn from what you have to say and what you have for me. And I'm going to allow that to affect the rest of the week. We're doing that as the church. We're doing it as a church. We're doing 21 days of prayer. We intentionally do this every single year at the beginning of the year. Because we want to set time and say, God, you have the first and the best. not the leftovers, but the first and the best. God, you have everything. And if I could, some of you sitting here think, okay, but I need more help than that. I need more help with my finances. That's great, I can keep, save, and live, but I am struggling to even get a budget. Some of you are like, budget? Yeah, it's in here. I got the budget in here, right? Yeah, that's not how it works. And if that is, then probably not working out for you, right? And if you are struggling with that, if you are needing more guidance and help with that, I'm so excited that we're going to launch Financial Peace University. It's this program that Dave Ramsey does. He's a financial guru, and my wife and I went through the program, and it's the commitment. If I'm going to be real with you, it's the commitment. It's a 9-week program, and there's a video that we watch at the group, and then we discuss it, and there's some homework that we have to do as far as looking at our finances and all that. If you want to organize your finances, and you're like, I need help with that, and you need to center around God, biblical principles, this program will help you do that. So if you are interested and you want to know more information about it, use that response card. Use this response card and put Financial Peace University, FPU, on there. And we're going to launch this in the beginning of March, so that way we can give time for everyone to sign up. And like I said, it's a commitment. It's a commitment. You got to come for 9 weeks in a row. There is a little cost involved, but you get a bunch of resources to tools that will help you out. But this is such – my wife and I went through it. We taught it last year, and it changed our lives. We got out of debt because of it. We tithed because of it. We there's so much that come because of it. So if you need to get your finances in order and you're saying, man, it's time, sign up for Financial Peace University. It's a great way to grow. The last one is this. It's time to live intentionally. It's time to live your life intentionally. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that you and I are not a product of our circumstances. We're not a product of our circumstances. We are a product of our disciplines. We are a product of our discipline. Too many of us are living through life based off of what happened to us. And we're so stressed, and we're so overwhelmed, and we're trying to figure out why life is happening to us. And can I tell you something? God did not design for you to live that way. God did not design for you to live your life stressed about finances. He gave us to steward it well, but he did not give us to stress about it. And for so many of us, there are things that are happening to us. Some of it is our fault, and other of it, it isn't. And we filter our relationship with God based off of those situations. And if I can just be an encouragement today, if you had a set of disciplines in your life, you would approach that situation differently. You would approach whatever it is that you're going through, that you're having a hard time, differently. If you allowed the Word of God into your heart, if you got a time with God and prayed and allowed God to enter your heart, it would look a little different. And for too many of us, we live life struggling to get to the next day because of what's happening to us. Because what's happening at our jobs, because what's happening in our families, what's happening in our finances. Like, I need help. I'm overwhelmed. And if we just allow God to have that part in us, and when we lived intentional, I love this. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. It says, sluggards do not plow in season. So at harvest time, they look and they find nothing. If you do not have a set of disciplines in your life, when it comes to harvest time, you won't find anything. So keep plowing. Keep plowing. If you look at me and I'm plowing and you see nothing right here and you say, Frank, what are you doing? Why are you plowing? So, and I'm going to tell you. I know, because you can't see anything right now, but you will. You will. Keep plowing. What did that look like for you? Keep praying. God hasn't answered it yet. Just keep on praying. You're on this 21 days of prayer. You're like, all right, I'll give this a shot. All right, God, what do you have for me, right? I'm going to take the 21 days of prayer with the church and fast, and you're in the middle of it right now, and you're like, got nothing. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep believing. Keep on keeping on. Get a debt of daily discipline in our life. And I know it's hard, and I know you can't see it, but if you keep doing it, you keep on believing. Keep on praying. Keep on reading the Word of God. You open the Word. You're making it a daily discipline, and you read the Word of God, and you got nothing out of that day. That's okay. Close it. The next day, open it back up. Keep on doing it. Get the daily discipline in our lives, right? Easy way to show this. A lot of us probably did this at the beginning of the year, right? We say, man, it's time to get in shape. So you go to the gym, and you go work out. Right, and you do some crunches, and you get some, you know, try to get your abs back in order, right? And you do your crunches, and you feel it, right? You feel it, and you're like, ooh, man, that's sore, right? And you're like, that's good though, because if it's sore, it's growing, right? And so you do it the next day, and you keep going, and you keep doing it, and you do it for 2 weeks, and then you get back home from the gym, and you start changing or whatever. And you look at yourself, and you're like, I feel it, but those abs aren't there, right? I've been eating too many tortillas lately, right? And you're thinking, man, what? Just forget it, right? It's just not worth it, right? Because you feel the pain, but you don't see the result yet. No discipline at the time is pleasant. But if you keep on plowing, you keep on getting those set of disciplines in your life, it will come. It will come. And I want to wrap up today's message with 3 points. I'm going to go through these really fast. In those notes, there's the scripture verses that you guys can refer to later. But I want to give you 3 principles, just really quick. 3 principles that we need to apply, because if we don't, everything I talked about won't matter, okay? First one is this. I got to know my purpose. If you don't know your purpose, then why are you going to try to do anything I just talked about? You have to know your purpose. And for some of you, if you just knew why God put you on this planet, you would live life very differently. You would start regulating what you allow. You would start honoring God with the first and the best. You would start giving him a time in your schedule because you know your purpose. In Psalm 139:16 says this. It says, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me. Before you were even formed, God had a plan and a purpose for you. You have to know your purpose. The second one is this. I got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Don't just listen to this message. Think, man, that's great, Frank. Yeah, I'll prioritize it in my schedule. No. Actually make a plan. Get out your calendar and say, hey, from this time, I'm going to spend some time with God. If you need help with your finances, man, I don't know what this looks like, but sign up for Financial Peace University. I don't know what it is. If you need to live intentionally and you need an accountability partner to regulate what you allow, get an accountability partner. Make a plan. Make a plan. It says that in Proverbs chapter 17, it says verse 24, intelligent person aims at wise action. Aim at wise action. Do it. Make a plan. The third one is this. I got to have accountability. If you try to do it alone, oftentimes you will fail. Oftentimes we will fail. Acts chapter 4, verse 9 says this. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. And some of us were sitting here, we're thinking, about to wrap up this message, and we're thinking, okay, cool, that was great. Good word, and you know, build some inspiration inside of me. And some of us sitting here, and you're thinking, man, if they really knew what was going on, if they really knew what was going on with my finances, if they really knew how my schedule looked right now, if they really knew that in my relationship with God, I'm barely making it right now. And you pull back the filters a little bit, and it's like, and you're scared. And you're thinking, God, I don't know if it's time. I don't know if it's time to allow you to enter in all of those areas of my heart. I don't know if it's time. And I want to encourage you today to take a step. Just take a step. I don't know what it is for you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would share that with you in any one of those areas I talked about. To take a step. You know what you need to do. You know what you ought to do. It's time to do it. And for some of us, the step I'm asking you to take isn't a human step. It's a God step. And you know what? When you take a God step, it requires faith. But can I tell you, He will meet you every single time. Take that step. Take that step. Martin Luther King says it like this. Faith is taking a step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Take a step. Take a step. And allow God to do what only He can do. But you got to do your part. So as we close today, would you stand with me? We're going to go into a short time of worship. As we worship this morning and we get ready for the week and all that, I just ask that you would just take this time right now and have this be a beat beat moment for you. Be up and awake to what God is doing. Do you know what God is doing? If not, look. Look. It's time. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you challenge us to be our very best version of ourselves, that you want us to be the best version of ourselves, that our best life, you know, you are the king of our lives and you know the best for us. And I pray that we would take this time and acknowledge that and make you the king and lord of our lives. In every single area. And for some of us, we have allowed you in our heart, but not all of it. So God, may we take this time and respond. Say thank you. Because you love me and care for me so deeply. We trust you. That we're going to take a God. And we're going to take it in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.